This morning for our gospel, we have the well-known parable of the sower. Jesus told these parables. They were common, everyday imagery to teach something about the kingdom of God. Only, it's funny, because I wouldn't say all the parables, many of the parables, there's something off. There's something that's strange. It's like they're everyday things, but then there's the people act in ways that you wouldn't expect. And, you know, there's the shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep to find the one. Father Leander Harding, my mentor, who moonlighted as a shepherd when he was first ordained in northern Maine, an actual shepherd of four-legged sheep. He always described the shepherd who would leave the 99 for the one as a shepherd that should be fired. And the same thing here, right? The sower who goes out to sow and he puts the seed in all these bad places, that sower should be fired too. That's reckless. It's reckless, right? Why would you put it in the pathway? Why would you put it among the stones? And why would you put it among the thorns? There's those four places, right? The path, the stony places, the thorny places, and then the good ground. Now, Jesus, in this particular parable, he gives us an explanation. A few verses later, we had to jump down, and he only says this explanation to his disciples, and there's a whole reason for it, but it's all good. These front few rows, they're rough this morning, I got to tell you. Jesus interprets his own parable. He doesn't normally do that, but he does it here, okay? He says that the path is the people, the seed that falls in the path are the people that don't hear. They reject it. And so Satan comes and takes it away. The seed that falls among the stones are those who receive the word, but then they have no root. And so when persecution or times of trial come, then they wither away. That among thorns are those who get, again, receive it, but then the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And finally, there's the good ground, those who hear and receive and bring forth fruit for the Lord. The problem with most sermons on this passage is that if they were given a title, they would say something like, "Be good soil. Receive the word. You need to hear and receive it. So if you're bad soil, try and make yourself into good soil." That thought is attractive to us, right? Because we want to save ourselves. We want to not need help. How often have you had that attitude? I don't need help. I can figure this out on my own. So if we're just told, all right, you know, you're bad soil right now, but you could become good soil with a little bit of effort on your part. That's sort of welcome to us. The real trouble is that the parable is, this is an important but somewhat opaque point, the parable is really descriptive rather than prescriptive. In other words, the parable is describing what happens when the word is preached rather than telling you to become a certain type of soil. It's describing what unfolds when the message goes out. Think of it, right? You may look at the world, you say, why don't people believe? You know, it's a beautiful world and there's so many things to support belief, and yet they don't believe, right? And so this describes how some people just won't receive the message, no matter how much or how faithfully it's delivered. The truth is, some hear, some reject, and some seem to hear it. Now, if we take that idea, right, that this parable is descriptive rather than prescriptive, and apply it to the Gospels themselves, what do we see? What kind of soil did Jesus encounter when he went out as the reckless sower, sowing seed everywhere? Well, there was a good amount of seed that fell on the path, people that just rejected him, people such as Pilate and Herod and the religious people of Jesus' day. They didn't really hear the message at all. Some followed Jesus, but then when they heard what he demanded, stepped away. There's that story about the rich young man who comes to Jesus and he says, "What do I have to do?" And Jesus tells him, "Go give everything that you have a way and then come follow me. And the Bible says that he went away very sad, for he had much goods. Or there's the crowds in John 6 who, after Jesus preaches the sermon about how he's the bread of life, they say, this is a hard saying, and they depart from following Jesus. And Jesus asked the 12, are you going to leave too? But even the 12, right? Even the 12 are sort of like that seed that fell among thorns. That when the thorns came up and the persecution came, right? What happened to them? Well, they were like sheep without a shepherd. And they abandoned their Lord and their friend. So the question becomes, where is the good soil in the gospel? I ask you, consider. Can you think of examples where the 30, 60, 100-fold fruit appears in the people that Jesus preached the kingdom to on the pages of the New Testament? I don't think you're going to find them. Because really, there's only one good soil. There's only one good soil. And that good soil is summed up in the name Jesus Christ. He is the grain of wheat that falls into the ground and dies and brings forth much fruit. He is the one that brings forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, who died and rose to new life, that he might give us that life. So the point is that only, you know, you can't sit there and say, Lord, help me become good soil. You can sit there and say, I give up. I know I'm bad soil. But I know that if I'm rooted in Jesus Christ, he can make me more than I could ever possibly be on my own. There's no plan B. There's no sort of second option for you to reform yourself. The humility of the Son of God is the only medicine to teach us in our pride true humility, to teach us in our malevolence and in our hate to love our enemies. If the pages of the New Testament present us with few examples of good soil, then the history of the church is no less replete with mediocre clergy and half-hearted Christians. If we look at the history of the church, we think, where is the good soil? There's a lot of forgettable clergy out there. That's kind of dismaying to me, but it's true. And when we look at our own lives and what God has given us, I'm sure as you survey your life, you look back at these moments, you say, if I'd done this, or if this has happened in this way, this could have turned out very badly. And somehow I avoided something here. It's like, despite all expectations, the message is, okay, I want you to hear this. The message is that despite all expectations, the 12 disciples became the foundation of the church. Despite all expectations, the church has flourished through two millennia. Despite all expectations, you're here this morning. And God loves you despite that you're a mess and that I'm a mess. You and against all the expectations, you and I can become good soil as we're joined to Christ in faith, word, and sacrament. If we bear fruit for the Lord, it will be in spite of our many failings and faults. Jesus Christ, that's what we want to lift up today, the name Jesus Christ. He is the living word that Isaiah foretold as the rain and snow. This is Isaiah 55. Jesus Christ is the living word that comes down as rain and snow from heaven, so that the word of the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh does not return empty-handed, but the word accomplishes that for which the Father sent it, to redeem you, to reconcile the world to himself. The word does not return void, but shall accomplish that which the Father intended. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen.